I'm Jeanette from Windermere Secondary School, and I believe by speaking, I'm speaking on behalf of the students when I say, what is wrong with the government if they're cutting money from us? Our community programs will be gone, possibly. I'm a volunteer at Windermere Community Programs, and we have so many programs that branches out to these schools, elementary schools that go to Windermere. There is reading clubs, arts and crafts, and so many other. Last year, when I volunteered at Renfrew, this 7-year-old girl could not read. I felt privileged to be able to help her and teach her to read. Without these programs, what are going to happen to these girls and these boys who could not read? Where are they going to go? We are helping the at-risk children. Now, there is so much media about violent youth. Well, they cut the money from us. We're going to be a bunch of youth who are going to be angry and more violent about these cuts. Did the government have a deprived childhood and they're trying to get back at us? That's my question. We have to put book covers on our books made out of paper to prevent further damage to our textbooks. Why? The textbooks are already beyond repair. Well, I'm going to say nicely and politely, please don't take our money away.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kathleen, and I would much rather be at home right now laying on my couch, as I have just come from a 5-car pileup that I was involved in, where others were taken to the hospital. But this is what our government has reduced us to. For if any of us lay down at any point, it is going to be our children that suffer. We need to stand up now. We can't stop. I teach my children, I have 2 children, one within the school system right now, the difference between needs and wants. We no longer have the choice of wants. We are at the point of needs. We cannot take any more cuts, no cuts to kids. I am also a parent of no choice of my own within the system on social services. As much as an embarrassment it is for me to say right now, I am an ex-teacher, by choice had to give up my career as I have a child with an acquired traumatic brain injury from somebody else's negligence. Every day I need to advocate for my son because our government says my child is only entitled to the basics of food, shelter, and clothing, and I still must fight for these everyday things. I have to survive on $800 a month for 2 children. 2 children! I have to provide equipment for my disabled child. Our cuts to our schools right now, my 8-year-old little girl asked me, why do we have to pay for education, mommy? When my 8-year-old little girl has to stand up and advocate, shame on our society. Shame on us. It is a child's job to learn and a child's job to play. When did it become their job to advocate for themselves for the basic rights of our schools? This is shameful for our society. This is a scary, scary place that we are in right now. My little boy is 4.5, and he is going to be within the school system within the next 6 months. Do you know what your government says? All grants stop for him. He is now your responsibility within the school system. How do we support a child that takes $5,000 a month from government grants? Now it's in our school system? What do we do to support these children now where we can make a difference? Instead of throwing money at these services at a later date when it's too late. I say no cuts to kids. We can take no more.
Thank you.
My name is Haley. I'm a student at Grandview School on the east side. I'm just wondering, why does the government take away our money? Why? We're already low on them. Supplies, fees, sports equipment. Why? Why take away more things? Next thing you know, we won't have desks.
Adrian Carr, leader of the Green Party of BC. First of all, thank you, every one of you, for being here, and to the people who pulled this meeting together, and to every child who's here, either to speak, which is very powerful, or here sitting patiently so that your parents can be here. Because of that, because of your presence, you will make a difference. Government does listen to people, and it does change its mind. You just have to keep coming out. You have to keep being patient. I do have to counsel the young girl, though, that said, we may become violent. Please, no violence. Our society has too much. What I'd like to say is kids are our biggest, our most important investment. I am a mom, and we all know that. They are our future. We have had cutbacks, though, and I have to remind you, that span back. It's not just the last 2 years. Adrian Montani made it clear, 12 years of cuts, $99 million. There's been an underfunding of education, that it's not just about no cuts to kids this year. It's about restoring the kind of funding we need in government to truly provide a very decent public education system for every one of our children. And that does become a government choice. It does become a priority. And I'm glad I didn't have to mention the Olympics, because I would have. Or the matter of tax cuts. And that brings it home to us, each one of us who is a taxpayer sitting in this room. Because you have to send a message beyond no cuts to kids. You have to send a message to political parties like the Liberals that you are willing to pay taxes. You're not looking for tax cuts. You're looking for decent value for your money. You're looking for a good, decently, publicly funded education system, and you know that takes money. Be the first group that writes to the Liberals and say, tax us, please. Tax us, but use the money for what we want, which is education, healthcare, and social services, and our children. That's a hard sell for a politician, asking you to write and say tax us. But I have to ask you to think about it. And there is at least one state in the United States. There are 17 states that actually tax junk food. There's one that takes the money taxing junk food and puts it into hot lunch programs for our children. I advocate that. Thank you.
I don't know how many parents we have of grade 4, 7, and 10 students, but recently we were sent the parent satisfaction survey. When I tried to fill it out, I became very frustrated. The comments, it's geared to a positive response, and I certainly don't have a problem saying that my teachers at my child's school care about my child, and the staff cares, and I am welcome in the school. I do a lot of volunteering in the school, so hopefully I'm welcome. But my biggest concern was they didn't ask key questions. They didn't ask, how are the resources in your school? They didn't ask about class sizes. They didn't ask about ESL or special needs in the classrooms and whether they are getting assistance, which affects all children. I became very frustrated with this survey, and I talked to my principal about it, and he certainly understood my concerns. You were not to add anything to this survey. You were not allowed to make comments on the survey. You had to just tick in the little boxes, and it just goes through a scanner. And so what will happen is this survey, when they all come back, will look very positive, because that's how the questions are geared. And I'm really concerned about people filling out these surveys and then the papers saying, guess what, folks? Vancouver parents are happy with schools because the questions they asked were geared for you to answer positively. And I just am really frustrated with this survey, and I want to know what we can do about it, because here we are with all these campaigns trying to tell the government something. This would have been a perfect venue to try to tell the government something if even they had put a comment form on it somewhere. But it doesn't allow you to.
Thank you. And you, ma'am, have the last word.
Thank you. My name is Susanna. I'm a parent from Queen Alexandra Elementary School. I have two children, a daughter and a boy. And I've been in Canada for the last couple of years, and transition has been very hard for us. It's created such a havoc in a family that because of the pressures and responsibilities that there was family disintegration. And if not for the school, for the services in the school, if not for a family advancement worker and a youth and family child welfare worker, our family would have been broken. I would not be here standing and talking in front of you. I would have been mentally not stable. No, if not for them. It was so difficult for me with an emotionally disturbed child, with a child who has learning deficits and behavioral problems. If not for them, I don't know what would have happened to me and my kids. Their services are so important to us. And when I initially came to Canada, I was so happy with the services that we received in the school, in the public schools. It's not the same back home. And from the year we have come, we have not heard of anything else but cuts and cuts and cuts. I just can't imagine the multicultural families that constitute about 60 to 70% of our school population at Queen A. If not for the services of them, what could happen to us? And I just can't imagine how the government could take this issue so simply. There are so many multicultural families who, because of the pressures of today, are being disintegrated. They certainly need these services at school, within the school, and these staff are the only ones who could work closely with the children and family at the same time. I would like to ask the Premier and the MLAs, if they had children who were needy, who were disabled, who had behavioral problems, would they sit back and take it easy and say okay to these cuts? We have reached a point where we all have to come and voice out our opinions. It's ridiculous. It's disgusting. Oh my. And about the hot lunch, there are about 350 children in our school and 290 children utilizing the services. If this is going to be cut, what happens to the kids? We don't want our kids to be on the streets. We want them to be better citizens of tomorrow. Please, no more cuts to the kids. Thank you.